We're going to be looking in the last part of the third chapter of James this morning, and we're going to be talking about the necessity of spiritual wisdom. Spiritual wisdom is not just ordinary wisdom. It's not common sense. It's sense that comes from God. Let's just say that to just summarize. James chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 13 through 18. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, James' point is that spiritual wisdom is something that's going to show up in your life. It's going to show up in your relationship with people in your family. It's going to show up in church. If you have it, it'll be reflected in the way you live your life, in the way you treat people, and in the outcomes of your decisions. If you don't have it, it'll also be reflected in your life, the way you treat people, and in the outcomes of your personal and corporate decisions. Now, the Bible clearly contrasts the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God. One is the wisdom that comes from above. The other, he gives three different characteristics of it. It's earthly, it's natural, it's demonic. Now, in the church, it's vital that we learn to lean on God's wisdom and not our own. The world's ways are not the ways of God. His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts than our thoughts. Wisdom is more than having a grasp of information. It's doing the right thing with that information, and it's more than just doing the right thing. It's doing the right thing the right way. Across the years in church, I've tried to help people understand that secular leadership and spiritual leadership are entirely different. Now, they don't have to be. A secular leader can be a spiritual leader. That means that you don't just pluck somebody out of the community and say, well, this person's a bank president, and so we can make them a deacon, or we can make them a Sunday school teacher, or we can make them whatever. Never choose a person for a task in kingdom work simply because they hold a position in the community. Kingdom leaders are spiritually gifted men and women who have been called by God and anointed by God for certain ministries in His work. I want to take you back to the Old Testament to illustrate this and show you two men who God used in an extraordinary way. He used them because He gifted them. He gifted them because He had chosen them. And I want to show you that even their names give insight into the purpose that God had for their life. Now, the passage of Scripture comes from Exodus chapter 31, verses 1 through 6. It's not going to be on the screen. If you want to read it in your Bible, you open your Bible to Exodus 31. Probably not part of your favorite passage of Scripture, but it's very important. Now, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic designs for work in gold, in silver, and in bronze, and in the cutting of stones for settings, and in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. And behold, I myself have appointed with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all who are skillful, I have put skill that they may make all I have commanded you. This is for preparation of building the tabernacle. Now, we're not building a tabernacle here. We're working together with God to build a church. The name Bezalel, by the way, this is in Exodus chapter 31, means to stand in the shadow of God. Isn't that an interesting name? God uses men and women who will stand in His shadow. They do their work with a dependence on God's wisdom, seeking only His honor and His glory. There is no jealousy or selfish ambition. When we work in the church, we work alongside one another. It doesn't matter who gets the credit as long as God gets the glory. We want to advance God's kingdom. We don't want our name on a plaque somewhere or in the bulletin that said, we did it. We just want to honor God by doing it. Now, there's a difference between having a skill, whether that's to teach or to play music or to paint, and being spiritually gifted and exercising spiritual wisdom while doing it. Bezalel, God said, I have chosen him, I have appointed him, I have put skill in his heart so that he can do what I want to do. And for him, it was just making artistic designs for the tabernacle. And then Aholiab, his name means the tent of the Father. Can you imagine that? He was helping build the tabernacle, and every day when he went to work, everybody who called his name said, that guy's name is the tent of the Father, Aholiab, reminding them that the work they were doing was God's work. It was not Bezalel's tent or Aholiab's tent. This is not Brother Eddie's church. This is not your church. This is God's church, and we work for God's glory. Now, let's talk about wisdom just a minute. Launching out from this passage in James and also from these two men that God gifted, they were ordinary people with ordinary skills, and they had a place in God's work. That's you, and that's me. Ordinary people with ordinary skills have a place in God's work. One of the greatest servants in my church where I was for the last 20 years before I came here was a man named James Brassfield. James was a deacon. He couldn't teach a class. He didn't feel like he was gifted to do that. He didn't even write his own deacon letter. He always said, Brother Eddie, I can't write a good letter. Would you write my letter for me? I wrote his deacon letter. All our deacons wrote letters to the people on their family ministry list. But I tell you one thing he could do. He could do carpentry work. And he did stuff for our church. He built all our vacation Bible school sets for all the years that I was there, and we couldn't have done it without him. God gifted him, and he loved doing that, and he gave glory to God. He was an ordinary man with ordinary skills, and he devoted those to God's work, and he knew that's what God wanted him to do. They ordinary people who stand in God's shadow and who realize they're building the church for his glory and not their own are people that God can use. Number two, ordinary task requires spiritual wisdom and a special anointing from God. Now look at the way God identifies these men. He says, I have called them, I have filled them, I have appointed them, I have put skill, I have commanded. When you choose leaders in the church, and we're in the process of doing that, the nominating committee is at work, the committee on committees is at work, and in a few weeks we'll be going through that deacon election process again. When we choose leaders in the church, they ought to be chosen by God. They ought to be men and women that God has filled with His Spirit and wisdom. People not just gifted, but people anointed and certain of God's call upon their lives. Now, these were simply men, Aholiab and Bezalel, simply men who were involved in a building project, but the project required them to have spiritual wisdom. And spiritual wisdom is a characteristic of those God uses to lead His people. I have three examples. Number one is Joshua. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 9. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom, for Moses had laid his hands on him, and the sons of Israel listened to him and did as the Lord had commanded Moses. Spiritual wisdom throughout the Scripture is given to people who have places of leadership in God's kingdom work. No person in the church in God's kingdom is to choose where they serve. God chooses them. The Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as He desired. In other words, God will plant you in the church where He chooses to plant you. He will gift you with the gifts He wants you to have, and He will use you, if you will allow Him to accomplish kingdom purposes for His honor and glory. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As every man has received the special gift, employ it. You hear that? Some of you are not employing your gifts. As every man has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So every member has an assignment. God gives people with spiritual wisdom necessary to do what He's called them to do. Even Jesus was gifted with spiritual wisdom to fulfill the assignment that God had given Him. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verse 2, this is what the Bible says about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. In the New Testament, this was to be especially true of deacons. Acts chapter 6, verse 3. Therefore, brethren, select from among you seven men of good reputation, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, who we may put in charge of this task. So, don't be misled. Spiritual wisdom comes from God and not from men. That's number three. Spiritual wisdom comes from God and not from men. In Proverbs chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. And in Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Spiritual wisdom, by the way, is not acquired with age. A 10-year-old boy who knows the Lord is his Savior will have some degree of spiritual wisdom. A 40-year-old man who does not know the Lord will have none. You're better off selecting a 10-year-old boy who knows the Lord as a deacon than you are a 40-year-old man who doesn't know the Lord as a deacon. Neither is qualified at that point. But you'd be better off to put a little boy who knows Jesus there than a man who doesn't know Him at all. As a young boy, in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, the Bible says Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Coming to His own hometown in the synagogue when Jesus was working His ministry, in Matthew chapter 13, 34, they said, where in the world did this man get this wisdom that he had? Spiritual wisdom is not automatic. I don't automatically know the right thing to do because I'm a Christian. I don't automatically know the right thing to do because I'm a pastor. This is the next point. Spiritual wisdom must be sought from God. We've already seen that in the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 5, he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, when we first looked at the concept of wisdom, I showed you in the Bible how Solomon asked God to give him wisdom. He followed the great King David. David was his dad. And here he is trying to follow a man after God's own heart and to be the king God wanted him to be. And he simply said, God, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to be king. I don't know how to lead these people. I need wisdom. And God gave him wisdom, making him one of the wisest men who ever lived. So you see, whether a person is on a building committee like Bezalel or Aholiab, or whether that person is a deacon, or whether that person is the leader of God's people like a Joshua or a Solomon, that person needs the spiritual wisdom that only comes from God. Now, decisions are not automatic. We can make plans. You can make plans in your own life. We had a surgeon in our church in where I was, and he came there. He was a great, great man of God, one of our deacons. And then he lost his job because of shifting conditions in the hospital, because of changing Obamacare stuff. The hospital had to do a lot of changing, and he lost his job and had to find another job somewhere else. And he said, you know, this was not my plan. This is not the plan that I made for myself. But obviously, God has another plan for me, and I need to find the plan that God has for my life. Now, there's a man who's a doctor who's trying to allow God to lead and guide his steps. We all need to do that. Every one of us need to do that. We don't make our own plans and say, this is what I'm going to do with my life. Some of you are college students. You don't want to make your plan and say, this is what I'm going to do with my life. You want to be listening to God. James chapter 4, we're getting a little ahead, but moving to chapter 4, verse 13. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we'll go to such and such a city and spend a year there and engage in business and make a profit. Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. James said, you need God's guidance. You need God's wisdom. You need to be sure you're doing the will of God. So you don't know the will of God without asking Him. Now, you need to also know that as we seek for spiritual wisdom is received only by the spiritual man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14, the Bible says, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? In other words, I can't read your mind. Some of you are sitting out there listening to me today. I don't know what you're thinking. You might think I do, but I don't. I can't read your mind. Neither can you read God's mind. And so don't guess. Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now, we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, here is where we have some great problems in the church. Not just this church, but every church. First, we do things without asking God. We make decisions without asking God. Second, as a result, we act in our own wisdom. But a further problem is that we have leaders in the church. You have this in every church. Who simply do not know the Lord and cannot understand the will and ways of God. The natural man sees God's ways as foolish. The only way to know the mind of God, the thoughts of God, is with the assistance of God's Spirit. God's Spirit has to guide you. You can't be guided to make spiritual decisions without the Spirit of God living in you. Spiritual wisdom is required to know the will of God. If I want to know what God wants me to do with my life, with my future, with the church, with its future, then I need to be asking God, God, what is the next step that you want me to take? Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, Paul prayed. He said, for this reason, since the day we heard of it, he's praying for a church, he said, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. You need to know God's will. You need to have God's wisdom so that you can walk successfully. Now, in this passage of Scripture, James says, look, if you got problems, you got a Cain and Abel situation where you got people on the outs with one another, the problem is you don't have any spiritual wisdom there, because spiritual wisdom is proven absent anytime there is strife. We could carry that on into brother-sister relationships, husband-wife relationships, people-to-people relationships in the church. Verse 13 again of chapter 3, who among you is wise and understanding, let him show his good behavior by his good behavior, his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. That's not God's wisdom. He said that stuff doesn't come from up there. It comes from down here. And worse than that, it comes from the devil. James raises the possibility that part of the problem in the church is that there are two different kinds of wisdom at work. A wisdom from above and a wisdom that's earthly, natural, and demonic. Whenever there are conflicting passions in a church, somebody's out of step with God. Maybe everybody's out of step with God. Just because you see things one way and somebody else sees them the other way doesn't mean either of you is right or wrong. And the only way you know what is right is to seek the face of God. And until you ask Him, you simply cannot make a decision. One of the worst decisions I ever almost made seemed like a good decision. It was to go and be the pastor of another church. And I had asked all my friends, and they said, sounds like a good thing to me. And I got right on the cusp of going, right on the cusp of making the step and moving to the church. And alone with God one day, the Lord said to me, I said, Lord, why don't I have peace about this decision? He said, because you ask everybody else, but you never ask me. And so I started asking God. And all my decisions had been wrong. He made it clear to me, all my decisions had been wrong. You see, we don't know what to do until we ask God. Have you asked God about the steps that you ought to be taking? Have you asked God about how to plan your future, or are you just planning it on your own? Are we sensitive to asking God about who ought to fill places of leadership in this church? Are you being sensitive to God about what He wants you to do in this church? Are you exercising the spiritual wisdom that He's given you? Are you employing the gifts that He's given you in the service of the Lord? Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that you don't have an ounce of spiritual wisdom because you don't know the Lord, and that you've made a lot of decisions and you realize they've all been wrong. That's borne fruit in your life because of the chaos that might be in your life right now, because you simply don't know the Lord. And you can't know His wisdom without knowing Him. Let's pray.